Paisley's Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo, and today is Wednesday, the 29th of April, 2026. Come on in, sit down. Don't sit on the ukulele back there in the chair next to the stuffed otter. It's not a real otter. Yeah, I know it looks very realistic, but just don't sit on it. Come on in, have a seat. Welcome, relax. This is a place where, for the next 55 minutes or so, you can just kind of let your worries just relax. Worries relax? Can your worries relax? Well, whatever. Just don't worry about things. Renee, welcome. Happy Wednesday. Hello. Welcome to the room. Yes. Maka. I don't know your real name, but I'll just, maybe you told me once, I may have forgotten. But welcome to the room. What room, sayest thou? It is the YouTube chat room that I have for this. It's it's YouTube at, that's that at sign, Mo Abdelbaki, M-O. A-B-D-E-L-B-A-K-I, and then you'll be here, and you can sign in, and you can talk to me, and I'd love that. I love it when you talk to me and tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. Wait. Okay, that's enough of that. Tomorrow's the last day of April. Can you believe it? 4 months... And that is that. You heard a ding. Yeah, I didn't silence my phone. Let me do that. I may be getting some dings. And that would be rude. Rude. But yeah, there we are. So today's show about more talking about tarot. I've decided that's one of the things that I'm rather known for is my tarot work, and might as well talk about it, right? What the heck? And so I'm going to. Hair. If you had facial hair, if you don't have facial hair, you might wonder, why does he keep mussing and fussing with it? If you had it, you would touch it too. It's like having a little puppy here. You would play with a puppy, and when you have facial hair, you kind of mess with it all the time. You know, it's not, I don't have any on my head, not much left anyway, so I don't mess with that so much. I saw a guy today in the grocery store. He was playing with his hair. He had this big, you know, I wore a ponytail for decades, from the time I was about 17 on. And I finally, you know, gave it to my kids. And I guess they probably still have it. But I have my son's rat tail somewhere from when he was about 10, 9 or 10. I snipped it. He said, I'm done with it. Cut it off. And I kept it. You know, I'm not going to throw that away. And it's kind of gross looking. But I still have it. And he's in his late 40s, but I'm sentimentalist. Boy, am I a sentimentalist. I get gooey easily. But saw this guy playing with his hair, and I thought, oh, don't do that. But I do this all the time, you know, and the mustache, you know, you. It's because it's like having a little puppy, you know? Little puppy, or it's much too wiry to be a kitten, trust me. It's but a little puppy could be a puppy, I suppose, you know. It doesn't at least, it doesn't do that. I suppose it might, but so anyway, how are you? How are you in this insane world we live in? Total insanity. It ain't the world that's insane. It's the people that have been put in charge of running it that is insane. They are absolutely bonkers. At least in my opinion. I suppose they always are. It occurs to me that the people who want to do that are just this side of weird. You know, the people that really could do a great job at it don't get there very often. The Dalai Lama would be great at it, but he isn't allowed to, you know, jump in the driver's seat and say, okay, guess what? No more war. No more war. That's it. It's over. Done with. And by the way, everybody eats. All these billionaires, shake them down, you know, fleece them. Take all their wool, and everyone eats. By the way, people who are sick because they don't have medication, fleece them. Everyone eats, everyone gets medicine. No one is sick, no one is hungry, but no. That isn't how the world works, and I don't think it's ever been that way. People who have done bad things to other people, guess what? The time has come. The time has come. Yeah. I'd vote for the Dalai Lama, too. Yeah, the Dalai Lama ticket. Instead, he's living in... is he in Islamabad? No, he's not in Islamabad. I think he's in India. He has a compound, and he's been, of course, exiled from Lhasa. Where he grew up. Sweet guy, by all accounts. And the 14th Dalai Lama. And so be it. Not Soviet, so be it. So, there it is. And thus, yeah. Just a very unpretentious man. Seems to be very sweet, very kind, very smart, you know. I read a book by Heinrich Herrer. Is that what it is? 7 Years in Tibet. They made a movie out of it with Brad Pitt. But I read the book years and years and years and years ago. And it was very impressive because here's Herrer, you know, and he gets... kind of, you know, gets stuck in Tibet and because of World War II. And it's fascinating because he's there and he gets to know the young Dalai Lama very well. And movies that he hated were like Tarzan movies because they hurt animals. You know, it's just fascinating. You read about people who really do believe in peace and people who do believe in good things, you know, and peace. What an idea. Peace. What an idea. Huh. Yeah. All right. So here we are. So, yeah. What else is going on? What else is going on? I hope things are going well for you. I hope they are. I'm doing okay. Thanks. I wish the world was in better shape. I have grandkids. You know, what can you do? So Tarot. Tarot is, I called this thing, I think I called it something like there's one word that you never want to use, or one idea or something like that. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up, and that's just a waste of time and energy. But the whole point of today is The one thing that you don't ever want to think when you're reading the cards, no matter how experienced you are, and I've been doing this for a long, long time, is you don't ever want to think that you know the meaning of every card, that you know the meaning completely of any card, no matter how good you are at the tarot. No matter how long you've been reading tarot, you don't ever want to think, oh, I know the meaning of this card. Now, the reason I say that is because the cards are, understanding of the cards, imagine that it is like elastic, okay? Knowledge is, in my opinion, not concrete, ever. Ever. No knowledge that you have is concrete. Knowledge is always elastic. And that goes against what a lot of people think and how a lot of people think, if you catch my drift. A lot of people think that concrete knowledge is the way it is, that there is wrong and there is right, and there are facts and there is fiction. And that knowledge is just what knowledge is. And it's just the way it is. And I don't really believe that. I think that there is always more to learn. There is always a variance, and there's always just more and different ways to look at something. So consequently, about the time that we begin to say things like, well, that's just not how it is, you can't do that, you can't think that way, you're going to be proven wrong. So what I do is I just say, well, I think that it can be anything, almost anything. And I like that. And that goes with tarot or astrology or with palmistry. I saw a hand once doing a bunch of readings one afternoon, and I saw a hand I had never seen before, the like of. Just never, it was just one of the strangest hands I had ever seen. It was remarkable. I had never seen anything like it in my life. I doubt I'll ever see one like it again. And I look at people's hands all the time. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I do when I look at people is I look at their thumbs. Because the thumb will tell you a lot about a person. It really will. I look at a lot of things about people, and I maybe, you know, to use a term that may or may not be polite, I size them up, and that's just, and then I feel too. I'm feeling at the same time, not with my hands. That would get me thrown into jail, but with my eyes, and I do that in a way, and more not with my eyes, because that might get me thrown into jail too. But you feel people. And it has to do with what we call intuition. But more than that, there are some things that just don't lie. And one of them is our hands. Yeah. You can look at hands, and the palms, the lines within the palms are very revealing. I'll put it that way. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They reveal a great deal about who we are. And so you can take a look at some things. I saw in that same afternoon something I had never seen before, but had read about for decades. The so-called Simeon line in a hand, which is a line that's just, there's no love line, no heart line. There's just a or head line is here and the heart line is here. But there's just a straight line across. It's the so-called Simeon line. And I'd never seen it before. And I was stunned. Stunned. And it's a cruel thing to name that line the way it is. But the person I looked at it, and I didn't want to, you know, my God, you've got a Simeon line. You know, Simeon means monkey. And I didn't want to say it because it sounded, and I didn't say you got a Simeon line, But I tried to find, I said, well, you must have a very interesting life. And he said, no, not really. And, well, you have a lot of activities? No, I don't do anything. And you have friends? No, no friends. And it was just pathetic. And I was really heartbroken for this man. And it was everything the Simeon line would predict. And I felt just terrible. And finally, I just said, do you have any questions? He said, nope. I said, okay, because there was nowhere to go with it. You know, it was just remarkable. And you realize that there is something to it. There is something to it. The way people act, the way that, I mean, there's so many different disciplines that we have that are at our disposal, so to speak. And tarot is an amazing one. You don't have to have someone sitting there to ask about them. But I don't generally do that because I don't feel that it's proper. I don't like to pry into people's lives unless they're sitting there, and then I'll ask the cards any damn thing I want. You know, I'm kidding. But it's that sort of thing. They will tell you anything there is to know about somebody. They will tell you anything there is to know. And so I'm not normally a gossipy sort of, I don't care about digging into someone's personal life unless they have questions that they want to ask. If they have questions they want to ask, I'll ask. But the most important thing is this idea of the flexible mind. And the flexible level of knowledge that we have about cards. And that is so important. It is important never, ever to say, well, I know what a card means. I'll just pick one at random here. Got the cards here. And I will just pick, okay, the moon card. Well, there's a good one. I feel that the moon card is about as ambiguous as a card can get. There's the moon. And my moon card is no less ambiguous than any other card. And my card, instead of two towers, which I don't know if people understand what that means, and it's really kind of not germane here to get into it. But I'm going to do what someone suggested last week, which was do some discussion, not today, I don't think, on my version of what these cards mean, but the towers are renditions of the moon and what people have seen in the past in the moon. For example, did you know there's a woman in the moon? Kind of, she looks like Wilma Flintstone, and that would be the goddess of the moon, and you can see her if you look up there on a clear night. It's in the mare of the moon and the craters of the moon. You can actually see the, and I've got her here. So I don't know if you can see any of that. Let me see if I can. Yeah, she's right there by my index finger. You can see the goddess there in silhouette. And you have to use your imagination, but you people are excellent imaginers. And there's an Easter bunny holding an Easter egg, and there's a hare leaping, and there's a man in the moon, which you can see, and the leaping hare the ancient Egyptians saw, and they named it Un-Nefer, which means beautiful one. And there's an old man carrying sticks, and there's Sisyphus rolling a stone up, and then down, and then up. And, of course, the moon does exactly that. It goes up, and then down the ecliptic, and then up the ecliptic. Not that back and forth direction, but one of it goes up, and then down, and then up, and then down. And it does that every month. And that's what I think the story of Sisyphus is about. Of course, it's about life as well. And, of course, it's a punishment for him. But I do believe that the rock that he lifts is in fact the moon, and that it's a story that he pushes it up, and then whammo, it rolls down again. I just love that story because it's such an indication of one explanation of the moon as every night it goes up, the ecliptic, and then down the ecliptic, and then up the ecliptic, and then down. In my first year astronomy class, we had a lab, and we went out and we had to shoot the moon every night. And luckily, it was mostly in the middle of the night, so I did not get arrested. Kidding. And we found that out. So what you do is you say, what does this card mean? And then there is this river here. You can see that is blood. Of what kind? And so you kind of think, okay, what does this mean? What is this about? And you may look in a book, and the book will say, well, this is about a mystery, or this is about... you know, you have to make a decision, and you can read a lot of definitions, and you, in fact, should read as many other people's ideas about this as you can. And then you throw them all out, if you want. If they don't make sense to you, if they don't seem logical, if they don't seem like there's something that really kind of gel for you, then don't be afraid to give them the old kick to the proverbial curb. But when you read one that kind of sticks with you, for example, this is a card, I believe, about menopause, because that is menstrual blood, but it's also about the end of menstruation as well. And it represents Circe, and it represents Hecate, and they were witches, and dangerous ones, too. And so, and they did much of their work around the moon, lunar cycles. And why are we afraid of those concepts? Why are we afraid of lunar cycles and the moon at night and being out at night in nature, in the moon? I mean, I've never been afraid of being out at night by the moon, because I was born on a Scorpio moon, on a full moon in Scorpio. And I love it. I love the night and the moon at night. And I feel very in nature, and I feel very much at ease. I've been on a bayou at night on a full moon. I've been in snowstorms at night in a full moon. I've been in, you know, places that were not necessary. I've been near the pyramids in Egypt on a full moon at night, and that was spectacular, you can imagine. I've been in a lot of places at night on the full moon. The full moon is about illuminating the darkness. So you allow your mind to run rampant. And whatever, so this is Pisces. This is Pisces. So what do you know about Pisces? There's only one way to get through, and that's why I drew this the way I did. You can see that there's only one way to get through this, and that's to go straight ahead. You know, you don't get off this ride. I don't know if you've ever been in Disney World or Disneyland where someone tries to get off the ride, like Pirates of the Caribbean or It's a Small World. I've been on that, and someone tries to get off the ride, and a voice comes out immediately and goes, "Get back in the ride." You know, there's someone watching always. Get back on the ride. And it's pretty quick. Oh, Quelly, welcome. How are you doing? Blessings to you, too. Welcome to the room. And you get back in the ride because you don't know what's going to happen. And I've actually seen on those rides, there are actually people posted watching, you know, watching. Renee, welcome. This Friday, happy full moon in Scorpio in the Western system. And in the Western system, it's the full moon in Scorpio, which is my lunar birthday. Yahoo. It'll happen a little bit, I think it has already happened, I don't know. But it's my lunar birthday, and I celebrate such. You should celebrate your lunar birthday. My lunar birthday is the full moon in Scorpio. It is. 3 minutes before actual full. So it's still pretty good, you know. Lunar birthdays, I think, should be celebrated like solar birthdays. I really do think so. So what will I do? Nothing. I'm too old for that. But I will personally celebrate it. I celebrate everything by just taking a moment And I think, oh, so this is what I was waiting for. My poor mother had been induced literally days before, and they were worried about infection. And this is back in, you know, mid-century, as they call it. And the doctor, when he came in, finally I was coming and out of her. And he said, oh, I know what your kid was waiting for. This was, he didn't speak like that. It was, he was much more refined, I'm sure. You know, oh, pip, pip, cheerio, and all that rot, you know. And he said he was waiting for the moon to rise because I just saw it was gigantic. You know, smoking a pipe and, you know, and a cigar at the same time in the delivery room. That's what the Brits do. And, you know, when my mom got mad, she would tell me things like that. You know, not that he was smoking, but probably drinking scotch or something. I don't know. Depends. But anyway, back to it. So you have to gather meanings while you're doing readings. And that's the beauty of Tarot. Now, this means you. Oh, thank you, Renee. Thank you. Thank you. She says, happy moon birthday. Thank you. Yeah, I think I'll. No, I'm not going to say I'm going to show that full moon. Oh, better late than never, Pamela. Welcome. Welcome to the room. Welcome. You have to. You got to do readings. You don't have to read for people necessarily, but read. And when you get a card, you look at it and you let your imagination, but also your intuition, fire on all cylinders. And that means you take in as much as you can. Information, ideas, you're going to try to take in as much as you can. So here's my priestess card. I've talked about this card before. This card is really something. My dad painted this. He did it as a just on a regular piece. I took out the background because it was just white paper. See if I can get, there it is. And I made it at night. And there's that full moon with a camel in it. Now, why a camel? Because this is ruled by the Hebrew letter Gimel, which means camel. There's a lot of reasons for that. I won't get into it today. So, and this is an oasis, not too far from where my dad was raised. He was raised in Giza, which is a subdivision of Cairo, which includes the Giza Plateau. So he grew up seeing the pyramids every single day, which is so cool, you know. I mean, he lived like 15 minutes away. When I was a kid, 7 years old, my mom and I went to Egypt, and they took our passports away because he was supposed to go back. He didn't go back, long story. And I went to my grandma's house, his mom, and we would stay there for a while, and it was amazing to look out and just see those things looming, maybe 3, 4, 5 miles, I don't know how far, but they were just massive, and beautiful. It's a sacred place to me, but this place is. He would go here, I know, but this is not a typical priestess card, but it was his priestess in many ways. I suppose my mom was his priestess in many ways, but more than that, I think that this was very sacred to him. And so to me, the priestess card is about many, many things. And what you do is, as you do readings and you see what it means when it comes up in someone's life, you don't just say, oh, this card isn't right here. You let it stretch. You let the elasticity of comprehension do its thing, and you let it stretch. So let's say you're speaking to someone who is extremely lonely. And you get this card, the priestess, he doesn't have anybody, and this card comes up, and you realize that he's looking for some solace in his life. He's looking for a place where he can feel connection. And you say, okay, for him, this card represents a connection. And so you delve a little bit in and you say, have you ever felt a sense of connection with somebody? Have you ever felt like you were really, and you find out that he had a wife many, many years earlier, and you ask, well, what happened there? And it turns out that it was religion that got in the way. A religion that she was not a member of, but it was a family religion, and they talked her into rejoining. And because they rejoined and he refused to become a part of it, they split up. And you really begin to understand that she was this to him, and that the only thing that will ever really reconnect him to this feeling is someone like her or her, and it's impossible, you see. And this becomes, you then try to find a way to get him to understand how to rediscover this, you see. And that becomes a very tough job for you, but you also, it stretches you some. Because as this was my dad's priestess, that oasis, I think I've almost got the name of the place. I've been searching for it. It would be probably on the train line somewhere, and I'm looking for it. I know it had been there for hundreds of years, maybe even longer than that, maybe thousands. But because you can see the pyramids from it, so it's not that far away. Now, they're not huge from there, but you can see it. And there are date palms. And the thing about date palms is that they're... I mean, have you ever looked at a date pit? They are considered by the ancients and moderns alike to be feminine for a very specific reason, because of the way they look. They look, well, feminine, if I can be so bold. Yes. They do. Like bananas could be considered to be masculine. Although a bit, intimidating for some men, but certainly, you know. But so you find something that could be impossible to deal with. This is a true story, though, I'm talking about. And so your job becomes to try to help somebody, but you've just stretched your understanding of the card. It's just been stretched a little bit. Oh, my God, this is something in the past that was so powerful that it became the only possible definition of the woman, that nothing else can replace it. And you're dealing with something really, really, you know, how do we fix this? How do we, you know, so you go on and you try and find a way. And unfortunately, some people will never move beyond it. Some people will never go the one step further or farther. What would the cards tell me to do today in a situation like that? Sorrow reversed. Try to get them over that pain, but how do you do that? How do you get them over their sorrow? Well, this card taught me a very powerful lesson once. Three knives. How do you get over sorrow? It's very difficult. I know some people in the midst of it now. And I'm feeling it too from theirs. And the reason they're feeling it, I felt it as well. I believe that sorrow is a steady state with us. That sorrow, quite literally, is like lava beneath the surface of our lives like magma, and that it is always flowing, always flowing. And I had this from an experience I had. And I won't get into it because I'll begin to cry. It's just the way it is. So I'm not going to talk about it. And and what happens is when we have some experiences, we tap into that sorrow and it cracks open. And so not only are we experiencing the sorrow of the moment, but all our sorrow. And how much of it comes up depends upon the intensity of the experience. And we're not just experiencing sorrow in the moment, we're experiencing all of our sorrow. And we're experiencing a life of sorrow. And so getting over it is just a matter of the earth scarring over, cooling, let's say. There is a place on South Maui. I've been to Hawaii once. That was a long time ago. It was actually my last vacation. Over 25 years ago. I haven't been anywhere since, except my mother's funeral, which was sorrowful. There's a place on the south part of the island. Maybe some of you have seen it. You can't miss it. And you're driving along, and suddenly you're in this area where there's all this black lava. And it gets more and more of it, and suddenly there are these boulders of black lava that are the size of houses, big houses. They start off as small houses, not unlike the one I live in. And then suddenly there are gigantic mansion houses of lava, massive, massive. And then you come to the place where they originate from. And you look up the side of the mountain, because it all goes down spilling into the sea. And there is just this huge, massive, just this boom in the side of the mountain. And it's remarkable to see. Remarkable. And it just, there's this rift, this explosion in the side of the mountain where it happened. And all this lava just came spewing out of the side of the mountain. It was an explosion, a volcanic explosion. And it just came spewing out and went down, and it for miles. I mean, it just on either side, it was like this explosion, and it went down into the sea. And this happened in the 1700s. And it's still there today, just the way it is. And it's a barren wasteland, and it's hot. We got out of the car and walked around, and it's like, oh, my God. And this lava is like glass. I mean, it can cut you if you're not careful. And I just walked around and touched it, and it was magical and magnificent. There were these huge boulders of this black lava, and it was just absolutely incredible. And I felt like I was standing amongst giant entities. And it was so hot there because it was absorbing the sun. You know, and then you go past that and you're back in this lush forest. It hadn't grown over yet. There was some growth, but mostly it was just this barren desert. And I thought, this is sorrow. This is sorrow. Eventually, however, it will grow over, because once upon a time, that was all of Hawaii. All of it. And I looked around, and here is this lush paradise. This incredible, beautiful greenery where they grow the richest coffee I've ever tasted. And it was just unbelievable. I thought, this is what sorrow is. This is the Three of Swords, the three knives. You know, when you reverse them, when it grows over, it takes a long time. But it can be the richest, most marvelous, most incredible thing there is. And it takes time. But eventually our pain can be some of the most incredible, wonderful stuff there is, because it helps us to be compassionate, and it helps us to help others. And indeed, that's what happened with this man. He became a grandfather to many children, and he became compassionate and helped others to find their way in many ways. And he was an incredible friend to me for a long, long time. Sorry. So, you find the meanings are stretched in the cards through experience. Hi, Raven. So good to see you. Don't apologize for being late. I celebrate your being here. It is a joy to have you. Thank you. I'm glad that story made sense to you. This human experience of ours. Sorry. I miss my friend very much. He's been gone for a year and a few months. And I knew him for a long time. And the pain of his loss is hard for me, because we were very close. We called each other brother. And that's just his being gone is really rough on me. And I do apologize. But it's my truth. It's my truth. But I have so much to be grateful for. I have such a bounty of blessings. Yeah, it is rough, isn't it? Yeah, the only way is through. And you just think about the good parts, the funny parts, you know? And you let the greenery grow. You let the greenery go. You see? That's what it's about. You let the growth happen. And that becomes part of that Three of Swords. It can't just be about sorrow, because sorrow is there because of the beauty of what we had. You know, I mean, I met him when I was 15. And we had a lot of time together where we just laughed so hard. It was unbelievable. We did a lot of, you know, stuff together. We had a lot of life together. And the pain wouldn't be so intense. I mean, I knew him before I met my ex-wife, before I had my kids, before he met his first wife and his second wife, before he had kids and grandkids. And we had adventures, you know. He had another friend who was his best friend before, and I knew him too, but, you know, and then he died of cancer, and then, you know, I became his best friend by his de facto best friend. And then, I mean, it was an interesting guy, but he stood by me through some pretty hard times, and I stood by him the same way. And you know, this is what that Three of Swords has in it. And so, thanks, Raven. Thanks. But that's life. I've lost most of my friends. Thank God, not all. I have a good friend I speak to now, often. And he's a wonderful guy. I've known him since I was 19, you know? And he's a dear, good friend. So they're still out there, and a few, but some of my tribe, but that's, I'm going to call it the blessing of a good life and a long life so far. And I hope to get a lot older. I would love to be much older. I really would. And that's just part of it, you know? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm glad too. Glad I still have good folks in my tribe. I was a lunatic. I think I still am. Tea. My parents used to give me tea when I was a couple months old. Can you believe that? I mean, I'm glad. You know, it ruined a few brain cells, I'm sure, but I'm in a good way. So when we live life, when we live life fully and grow, Tarot grows with us. And we need to really let that happen. When we're reading and we get a card, instead of saying, oh, that card doesn't make sense, which is what a lot of people do, we need to think for a second and say, what is the card trying to tell us? Yes, it's random. Sometimes it's purely random. But I still like to say, what is the card trying to tell us? Now, I have a hat right here that my son gave me. It was such an incredible... We used to go to what's called the Denver Zephyrs. They were a baseball team. And he was really young. Before that, we had the Denver Bears. And the Denver Bears were the local minor league team. We'd go to the Zephyrs. And the Zephyrs had a deal, which was a buck and a quarter. I could go to the Zephyrs baseball game for a buck and a quarter and get a hot dog, a beer, a scorecard, and the game. And just sit there, sitting back. And there was no one there. Maybe 500 people, maybe 200, maybe 100. And I could sit in back of the catcher and kibitz. And, you know, the owner would be there. And I'd make snide remarks, you know. And wear my Zephyrs hat. I haven't even fashioned the bill yet, you know. And this was their hat. Now, I had a Zephyrs hat forever. And it just got so grody that I had to throw it away. Didn't want to throw it away, but I had to throw it away, and I haven't gotten all the stuff off the bottom of the bill. And one day my son says, I got you a Zephyrs hat, and they've been gone from here forever. And how blessed am I that he finds a Zephyrs hat somewhere. They're in New Orleans, I think, now, and it's a Denver Zephyrs hat. You see, now that's a blessed life, you know. I now have a Denver Zephyrs hat. This is an amazing thing. I'm living an amazing life, you see. I used to wear it everywhere because I was a fan. And then the first Rockies game, Colorado Rockies game, I took him out of school. He was in the fifth grade, I think. I asked my daughter, Sarah, if she wanted to go, and she said, no, I don't care about it. But I took him out of school, and we went to the first game. Yep. And what a day. You think about life, and you say, okay, show me a card. Show me a card. Queen of Discs. I'll have to pull out the original drawing so you can see this better, but there's the Queen of Discs standing on a well. It's like a little volcano, but it's fresh water coming out of the earth. She's the watery part of the earth, fresh water. And that's what life is. That's what life is. It's those times when we have these beautiful, watery experiences, fresh water that quench our thirst, that are remarkable, that are clear and beautiful, that we drink fully of. You know, we just, boy, just, you know, get in there and drink, taking your son to the first Major League Baseball game in a city, and the very first pitch is a home run. And you've got 75,000 people on their feet cheering. And it's like, oh my God, it was magical. I can't even begin to tell you how magical it was. And we were there. And the Tarot caught it. It said, explained it beautifully. And that's a brand new meaning for me. That's a brand new meaning for me. You know? That the Queen of Discs is about those moments in life that you can drink deeply of. Taking my daughter to the father-daughter dance, where she wore a poodle skirt and I rolled my pants up and put Vitalis in my hair or whatever. I used Brill Cream, I think. God, I looked terrible. My hair was so greasy and I had long hair, a ponytail, you know, so, and, you know, and we just had so much fun. We danced to Chantilly Lace and, you know, 50 songs and I mean, it was a wonderful time. She was probably 10, 11, something like that. And we had such a wonderful time. These are the times in your life, you know? And sometimes that's what I got. The Queen of Discs. I didn't anticipate, but now I understand the card a little bit better. It's a new meaning. And that's, you never should say, I understand the cards. I know them. Oh, yes, Tarot. Ah, yes, I know Tarot completely. Every card. I know every card. In every setting, in every circumstance, I am a Tarot master. Because that's wrong. I now understand that the Queen of Discs is about the beauty of life. And those times in life that happen that are so incredible that you take them in, you know? You take them in and you drink of the fresh water. And you realize that this is a moment that you have that is spectacular. And I just learned that right now talking to you. And I thank you for that. That's Tarot. That's what Tarot is. Tarot is a friend. Tarot is a valuable personal tool for happiness and for understanding of one's life. I have learned the most amazing things with Tarot. Things that I would not tell you. Because some of them are so wild. But also, some are very personal. I was sitting in a class once, many, many years ago, with a class of people, a room rather full of people, and we took a look at the O.J. Simpson thing. And with that, with cards, it became very evident as to what the truth was about that. And everyone in that room was convinced of what I was convinced of because the cards told us the truth of what happened. It was unbelievable. Absolutely 100% convinced. It was amazing. I'm not going to get into it here because, you know, internet and all that rubbish, you know. But I'm telling you, every one of us knows what happened. And it's just, and maybe we're wrong. I mean, maybe we are completely delusional, but that's the power of Tarot. And that can happen if we say we know the meaning of the cards. So, flexible minds, flexible spirit. Use the cards. Use them. Use them a lot. So I'm still working on every day, improving my understanding, expanding my knowledge, knowing more. Yeah. Oh, so Raven, you had a cat named Zephyr? Yeah, Zephyr is the west wind. Warm. Yeah. Whew. Emotional day. emotional day, but a good day. Just learned a valuable meaning of a card that I like anyway. I like all the queens. All the queens. I've never liked the rendition of the Queen of Swords with a head in her hand. I know the story. It's Judith and Holofernes. If you don't know that story, look it up. It's a valuable story, but I find it a bit brutal, you know. I discovered the elasticity of tarot when I pulled a card for fun and realized that it was predicting the result of a football match I'd been vociferously professing not to care about. Yeah. Yeah, the cards will do that. The cards are remarkable. They are a remarkable tool, and they are part of you. Never forget that. They are an extension of you, and they extend into you. Both ways. Okay? All right. Well, that's my time. It has been a pleasure, and if all goes well, I'll be here next week. All right? Okay. Shall we dance again next time? I think we should. Till next week, I wish you all peace, and I wish you all love. Do take care of yourselves, and please take care of each other, okay? Something we should all do. Bye-bye. Love you.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.